You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Piper Corp, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program of the Ecological Society of America where I interview scientists who are involved in ecological policy issues. Today, I am interviewing Dr. Rich Poyon, a research forester at the U.S. Forest Service and a team leader at the Baltimore Ecosystem Study, who most recently served as the ESA's Vice President of Public Affairs. In 1997, you worked as a legislative assistant for Senator Moynihan from New York and co-authored acid deposition legislation. You've also worked as a legislative assistant for Senator Feinstein from California. What made you decide to become directly involved with politics, and how did you make the transition?
When I first went to college, I never in my dreams imagined that I'd be working in Congress with Senator Moynihan or Senator Feinstein. But I've always felt very strongly about the intersection of ecology and policy, because my first job after I got a master's degree, I worked for the New York City Department of Parks. And wrestled with a lot of issues related to the environment. So I always had that strong feeling to intersect. And when I decided to go for a PhD in ecology, I went to a very traditional ecological program at Rutgers University, where policy really wasn't something that was discussed very much. So I was kind of a black sheep at the time. But certainly over the years, and that was in the late 1980s, the field in general has opened up to the possibility of intersection with policy. After I got my degree and serving as a postdoc, the Ecological Society of America advertised for a Congressional Science Fellowship, and so it was just opportunity was there, and I went for it. As far as making the transition to actually working in policy, the fact that I worked in the real world, I call it my real world experience between my master's and PhD, actually I call it my 4-year degree in life. So the transition wasn't nearly as difficult as I think someone who just went straight through. But I still had to go through a transition, and luckily through the Congressional Science Program that was administered by the AAAS. They gave me all the background I kind of needed to be able to participate at the congressional level. So it was just a great experience in general. And, of course, I had to learn on a job as well.
Your current work at the Baltimore Ecosystem Study has a strong emphasis on application, specifically to natural resource management and policy issues. How has your work in the political sphere shaped your perspective and career as an ecologist?
When I first went back for my PhD degree to work on a dissertation, at the time, again, this is in the late 80s, there was this distinction between applied and basic research. Quite frankly, there was a little friction between the two sides. Fortunately, I think over the last 15 years or so, the lines between applied and basic research have been blurred. It's not as big a deal anymore. What we're realizing to really be able to deal with issues that managers and policymakers have, that we need to have a really basic understanding of the ecological systems that they're managing or setting policy for. So it was, a very easy transition from that perspective.
You've done a great deal of work at the interface between ecology and public policy. Do you have any advice to share with ESA members about how to bridge these two fields successfully?
I've always felt strongly that there are different pathways that ecologists can take with their careers. In the old days, it used to be, you got a PhD and you worked in academia or for a federal agency as a scientist. But now there are many more opportunities for PhD ecologists to get jobs with a non-government organization. There's the private sector. There's lots of consulting opportunities. So these different pathways will require different allotments of your time. What I've found in my career that it does take a lot of time if you want to be able to intersect between science and policy. And, of course, that takes away from your science time. And so what I advise students is that you can't do it all at once. And so what I've done in my career is I've focused on my science research for allotments of time. As you mentioned earlier, I worked for Senator Moynihan and Senator Feinstein. I spent a year working for each one of those senators and then gone back to my research. So I'm not trying to do it all at once. I'm doing it in different chunks of time. So I think that's the way to do it, and I think the real important thing that goes into providing that time effort goes into developing personal relationships. And so as a congressional fellow, I was able to develop relationships with people on the Hill that I still have today, many years later. And when they have a question about something, they call me up. And I might not necessarily be the best person to call, but they trust me. And they also trust that if I don't know the answer, I'll tell them where they can go and get the answer. And I've done this also with managers. I like to tell the story of my experience working in Baltimore. I work very closely with the Department of Public Works on water quality issues. So one of the directors there, I have breakfast with him every 3 months. We go to the Hun Cafe in Baltimore. And we spend about half of our time just talking about things, and then the other half of our time talking about, you know, the job at hand. So there's a very good flow of information between the both of us. I learn from him, and he learns from me. Again, that's a very big time commitment that you need to make, so somehow you have to balance that with your research. I see the Ecological Society of America as an institutional interface between ecologists and the political world, because not all ecologists have the time to develop those interpersonal relationships. So if the ESA Public Affairs Office, they have developed those relationships on the Hill, for example, they can then be the conduit for the information from individual ecologists that can go then to the politicians. The other thing I would suggest is getting training in communication. That would be in writing, but also public speaking. There's been research done, for example, on physicians who get malpractice suits, and they thought when they started the research that the relationship would be between physicians that were either practicing out of their area of expertise or they just didn't have the appropriate training or whatever. But what they found had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with their bedside manner. Even if they were the best doctor in the world, if they had poor bedside manner, they tended to get sued more than somebody who wasn't a very good doctor but had great bedside manner. And the implication being that how you communicate with people is very important. And if they detect any arrogance, if they detect any sort of talking down to, they're not as likely to listen to you.
What are some of the challenges ecologists face on the Hill?
Some of the main challenges, I think, would be timeliness. Politics tends to work at a different pace than science. Science is generally much slower than politics, even though you'd find that hard to believe when we hear about how Congress is slow to react to something. But typically, when Congress or any policymaker or even manager requires information, we're not ready to provide it in the format that they need. And so that's a real definite issue, and that's one that the Ecological Society of America is trying to overcome and their public affairs office by trying to anticipate these issues as they come and get our scientists together, membership together, to respond to those issues before the demand for that information occurs. The other challenge, I think, is providing the information, the right information, the information that they actually need at that particular moment. And also, without all of the caveats that usually go with the provision of ecological information, usually there's a certain level of uncertainty related to the information that we provide. And it's very important that we come up with ways to describe where that uncertainty lies, because we have to realize that politicians are, and actually the general public, are often more willing to bet on something with more risk than we are. So if it's a 51% chance, for example, they may want to go for that, whereas a scientist wants a 95 percentile kind of thing.
What do you consider some of the most exciting or important ecological policy issues for ESA members to get involved with?
Well, certainly, some of the biggest challenges that we face as a society relate to global climate change. I think we're past the argument whether it's happening or not. The big issue now is adaptation, trying to mitigate some of these impacts that are going to occur to our ecological systems and ecosystem services in general. So I think that's a really big area. Some other related issues would be biofuels, the environmental and ecological impacts of biofuel systems. What we're finding is that obviously there are some systems that are not very good environmentally at all. In fact, they're not very good energetically either. But this is going to happen, and I think it's a great multidisciplinary area of research as well, where ecologists can work with soil scientists and economists, for example. And thirdly, I think the whole issue of biodiversity that is really going to be an issue in the future with climate change and also land use change. And on the one hand, it seems to be easy to translate to policymakers, but on the other hand, it's very difficult because many of the species that we're talking about are actually very small. They're invertebrates, or they're a size that people don't consider important. And, of course, we know in ecology that they can be extremely important, and it is these organisms that we really are going to have a difficult sell to the public and also to policymakers. So I think those are the three areas that I would say are ripe for advancement and for translating into policy.
That was Rich Poyet from the U.S. Forest Service and the Baltimore Ecosystem Study. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.